Titus 2:14 has always intrigued me. The verse doesn't say anything just drastically out of this world that you and I don't already know, but there's a portion of it that has intrigued me. Let's look at it very quickly. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Notice that Paul begins with what I refer to as the present. The present was Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Who gave himself for us. Jesus gave his life on our behalf. He was a present offered for us. Now, in this particular verse, we find that there are three purposes of that present. Number one, he talks about the purchased, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That little word redeem means to buy up. Jesus gave his life to buy you and me out of the throes of sin. Secondly, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people. Purification was another purpose of his death. He cleansed us, he washed us, he made us holy through his blood so that you and I can become a peculiar people. That is a precious treasure for his own purpose and for his own use. But notice the third point, performance. He says that he died so that you and I would be zealous of good works. The intriguing part of the verse to me is that last statement. We don't talk about it very much. Oh yes, we talk about how Jesus died to redeem us. We talk about how Jesus died to purify us. But folks, Jesus died so that you and I would be a people zealous of good works. Good works are supposed to be a part of the Christian life. Good works are not optional for the Christian. Folks, if you and I do not perform good works, then we do not manifest that we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Notice too, the Bible says we are to be zealous of good works. Jesus died so that I would be zealous of good works. That little word zealous means to be burning up with good works, to be boiling over with good works. My life ought to be good work after good work after good work after good work, just as many as I possibly can perform. Zealous of good works. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Notice what he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now notice what he says. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Notice, God created us through grace and faith to be his workmanship, to perform what? "Good works." Our minds as Christians ought to be centered every day on what I can do for the cause of Christ. Every day, my life ought to be filled with the good works for the Almighty God. The theme for our congregation this year is very simply, seeking higher ground in 2021. And each month we talk about a lesson around this particular theme, and today the title is very simply this: Seeking Higher Ground in Good Works. We got 3 points that we're going to talk about very quickly. Number one, let's contrast good works with evil works. We turn to 3 John verse 11. The Bible says this: "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God." There's a choice we can make. You and I can be involved in good works. You and I can be involved in evil works. John, in this verse, is exhorting us to do good works, isn't he? Beloved, follow that which is good, he says. Don't do those things that are evil, folks. Our world is literally filled with evil, isn't it? I put together just a brief list of evil things that you and I read about, hear about every day in our world. Murder, theft, violence, evil speaking, rebellion against authority, adultery, fornication. Folks, that's a lot of sin, is it not? In fact, in my mind and in your mind, those particular sins are pretty heinous transgressions of the Word of God, aren't they? But that is only the start. Lying, lust, notice, covetousness, deceit. The list continues. Homosexuality, pride, abortion. And the list just keeps going. Hatred, wrath, extortion, envy, strife, heresies. And we could provide another list just as long and another list just as long, folks. There are a host of evil works that individuals are involved in our world right now, even as we speak. It's in that world that you and I, as a handful of individuals, need to be going out and performing good works. We need to be doing everything we can possibly do to fill our world with good, not evil. Why? Because good works are profitable, not harmful. Good works give hope rather than despair. Good works bring joy rather than sorrow. Good works cause our world to be brighter rather than darker. And good works glorify God rather than giving praise to the evil one, don't they? It's not surprising then that Paul, writing to Titus, makes this statement. This is a faithful saying. Now notice what he says. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. He's talking to a preacher, the young Titus. And he says, Titus, this is a faithful saying. I want you to affirm these things over and over and over again. Notice that they which believe in God might be careful to what? Maintain good works. Again, folks, the Christian life should be filled with doing good. We ought to be finding as many things as we possibly can do to fill our life with good things. Point number two, I find this is interesting. The woman and good works. Now the Bible has already told us that every person who believes is supposed to be involved in good works. And two, sometimes as we read through scriptures about good works, specific individuals are giving commandment to do good works. When Paul was writing to Titus again, in Titus 2:7, he tells this preacher that he is to be a pattern of good works to others. I find it interesting that Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, told Timothy to exhort the rich to be rich in good works. So sometimes very specific people are exhorted to do good works. But what I found interesting is this. The people that are exhorted to do good works more than anyone else, the ones who are talked about having done good works more than anyone else, are, guess what? They are women. Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about women doing good works. Take, for instance, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Paul there is talking about the dress of a woman and how she is to dress herself in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. He then summarizes it with these words, with godliness, or women professing godliness, with good works. In other words, one of the ways that a woman adorns herself is by the works in which she engages. We turn just a little bit further in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, and Paul again is talking about women. These are women who have lost their husbands. These are women that are widows, and they are over the age of 60 years old. And they are being looked upon as to whether they should be supported by the church or not supported by the church. There are certain conditions that they were supposed to have met in order to be brought into that number. And the very first condition is this: well reported of for good works. In other words, this is a woman who, through all of her young life, has done good things, and she is well reported of others for having done good works in her life. We see the example of the woman who came into the home of Simon the leper, and she had an alabaster box full of ointment, and she broke that open and she poured it on the head of Jesus, and she was criticized deeply for that, was she not? And what did Jesus say? Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work upon me. Here Jesus is, commends a woman for having done something valuable as far as he was concerned. She's done a good work, he says. Notice also a woman by the name of Tabitha. That's not the name that we know her by normally. The Bible says that she had another name, and it's the name Dorcas, isn't it? And the Bible says of Dorcas in Acts 9 verse 36 that she was full of good works and alms deeds. This is a woman who had passed away, a woman who was dead. And individuals had gathered at her home, and they were looking at the coats, they were looking at the garments that she had made, the things that she distributed to other individuals, and it was that by which she was known at that time. Amazing, isn't it? You see, women are not given public ministries like men are. The Bible tells us that women are to keep silent in the church. Women are not to usurp authority over the man. So a woman oftentimes has to take a position that is behind the scenes, isn't it? But folks, what I want you to understand is this, that even though a woman may not have a public ministry, she can still have a ministry, can't she? And the Bible emphasizes that. I want women to be involved, deeply engaged in good works. And that's what women need to make up their mind to do. I'm going to do good. I'm going to find me something to do that is profitable, something that enhances the lives of others, something that helps others, and I'm going to be a part of that regardless. Good works. Remember Phoebe? Paul writes about her in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. And he says this, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. He then tells them this, receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And he tells them to assist her in whatever business she has of you. And then he says this about Phoebe, who has been a succorer of many and also of myself. We don't use that little word succorer very often anymore in our society. All it means is this, a helper. She has been a helper of many and of myself. There's three things in that verse about Phoebe that are interesting. Number one, Paul refers to her as a servant. doesn't he? A servant of the church at Cenchrea. Folks, this is a woman who knew her place. And she knew her place was to serve the church. Paul is now writing on her behalf, and she is even on business of the Lord, even as Paul wrote this letter. He tells the church at Rome, you receive this woman, and you assist her in whatever business of the Lord that she might have. She was doing good works, even as Paul wrote the letter. And she had done that for many, many people. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You see, here Phoebe is, two verses, is all we know about her. And yet she is a woman who is commended as being a helper of other people. Women play an important role in the body of Christ. And it doesn't have to be a public role to be important, folks. Now, the last point is what I refer to as Bible thoughts about good works. There's 50 points that we have to cover. 50 verses. Now I say that to stun you so that when I tell you there's only 25, it doesn't sound as bad. There's really only 10. Oh, 10. Let's look at them real quickly. Folks, those individuals who do good works make themselves like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10:32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you of my Father. Isn't that something? When Jesus came to this world, He only lived 33 years. He was only in ministry about three and a half years. But while He was engaged in those 3.5 years, He was actively laboring. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. When you and I engage in good works, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Number two, good works can be as simple as giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. Matthew 10:42. Notice what Jesus says. And whosoever shall give to drink a cup of cold water unto one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Folks, good works don't have to be big, extravagant things that you and I do. A cup of cold water, a meal at a restaurant, helping a neighbor over in their yard, sending a card to another individual as a means of encouragement, preparing a meal for someone. Folks, little simple things can be done that are good works on behalf of others. And guess what our Lord says? I see them, I acknowledge them, and one of these days they will be a part of your reward. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. God sees the little acts. But remember, there are times when good works can be costly. Let's go back to that woman who anointed Jesus and look what the text says. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, what happens? A woman comes. And what does she have? She has an alabaster box of ointment. Notice how the text describes it. Very precious. Folks, what was in that little box was costly. What was in that little box took a lot of money to possess. And what did she do with it? She broke that box open and she poured it on the head of Jesus. And immediately there was criticism, weren't there? Why such waste? This ointment could have been sold and the money could have been distributed to the poor. And Jesus comes to her defense. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. There are some good works in which you and I can be engaged that can be very costly and very expensive. And sometimes God wants us to do that. Sometimes we get caught up, don't we, in money and how much things cost. Yes, we can do the little things, the cheap things, the things that don't cost much. But guess what? God also says that doing those expensive things are good works as well and are needed just as much as those inexpensive ones. $1,000 to a missionary? $1,000? I'd rather just give a cup of cold water. And that's usually about what they get. Oh, sometimes we have to think big, and sometimes our good works are going to cost us a little bit of money to perform. How about this next one? Good works are the ways that children of God manifest light in the world. That's what Jesus says, isn't it? Ye are the light of the world. But notice what he says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? See your good works. Folks, good works are one way that you and I let other people know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Do your neighbors know that you are really a Christian? Do your coworkers know that you're really a Christian? Do the people you go to school with know you're a Christian? Do the people you're on a ball team know you're a Christian? Folks, they ought to. And they ought to know that by the good works that you do on their behalf. Notice this next one. Good works will be remembered by some even after we have departed from this life. Let's go back to Tabitha, Dorcas. Notice the second part of that verse. When he was come, that's Peter, notice what happens. They brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping. And what did they do? Showing him the clothes or the coats and garments which she had made when she was with them. Here's a woman who was dead. And what were they doing? They were remembering her works that were done when she was alive. Here's what I want to ask you. When you die, what are you going to be remembered for? What are you going to be remembered for? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be remembered as that individual who performed all of these good, wonderful works on behalf of others? This is the woman who sewed and made all of these clothes for all of these individuals. And guess what? Now she's gone. There's going to be a hole in the ministry for a while because she's gone. How many churches have classes for young girls, and they are called Dorcas classes. Folks, Dorcas is still being remembered for the things that she did while she was alive. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go walk up to a tombstone? Here lies Victor Eskew, and underneath it, a doer of many good works. People who don't even know you would scratch their heads and they say, man, I wonder what he did to have that written on that tombstone. What are you going to be remembered by when you die? Dorcas for her good works. Watch this one. Christians are to exhort one another to love and good works according to Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Folks, one of the reasons we gather for church services is to do this very thing. If you don't believe that, read the very next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We are supposed to provoke one another, encourage one another, prod one another to do what? To love each other and to constantly be engaged in good works. The next point is this. God's Word equips us to good works, doesn't it? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What good works do I need to be engaged in? The Bible teaches me. How do I need to be engaged in those works? The Bible tells me. What attitude do I need to have as I go about those things? The Bible tells me. How do we fund these works in which we are to engage? The Bible tells us. Folks, the Bible is our standard as to how we are to do the good works for our God. Here's what I love. Our good works can cause our enemies to be converted. Watch what the text says. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now notice what he says. That whereas they speak what? Against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Right now, we have enemies, don't we? They look at us, they vilify us, they speak evil against us, they don't like our doctrine, they don't like our teachings. They want us just to go away, but what are we constantly doing on their behalf? We're constantly doing good works, aren't we? We're constantly helping, we're constantly assisting, we're constantly there. Folks, guess what they can't do? They can't deny the good works. And Peter says that if we'll do that, notice what they're going to do. They, those enemies, are going to glorify God in the day of visitation. Our lives can change wicked people into believers. Our lives can cause those individuals to convert to the cause of Christ. Our lives can be lived in such a way that another person sees how we lived and says, you know what? I'm going to quit fighting against that. That is real, that is genuine, that is sincere, and I want a part of that. And because of the way we live our lives before them, they convert. And what a beautiful thing it will be that when Jesus comes again, there our enemy stands, converted, glorifying God. And they can look at us and say, you know what? You had a part in my conversion because of the things you did for me and the good works you performed on my behalf. Notice this next one. I find this is interesting. Sometimes we have to remind rich folk to do good works. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now listen to what he says. That they do good, rich in good works, willing, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Isn't that amazing? Here are people with millions of dollars, and you've got to do what? Exhort them to do good works. We could do a whole lesson, couldn't we, on why rich folks won't spend their money. Why rich folks won't use their money to do good. Now here's what's crazy, people. We're pretty rich. Did you know that? Compared to the world, we got a boatload of money and a lot of goods. Now, I realize we act like we're poor. If somebody were to ask you, are you rich? Oh, no, I'm barely scraping by. Are you kidding me? You see, sometimes we even have to remind ourselves, don't we? You've got riches. Guess what you need to do? You need to be rich in good works. Use that money, folks. All you're going to do is leave it behind to somebody who don't care about it. They're just going to use it for their own purposes, aren't they? Why not use it now to the glory of God? Watch this one. Rulers of nations are supposed to praise our good works. Romans chapter 13, 3. For rulers are a terror to what? Are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Isn't that amazing? Will thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Folks, he's talking about government. Our government ought to treat people who do good better than anybody else on the face of the earth. Did you know that? We obey the laws. We pay our taxes. We carry out good works in our community. We help other individuals. And our government has the responsibility of saying, you know what? We appreciate you. We love you. We care about you. And we praise you for what you have done. And folks, they are not to be a terror to us. Sadly, right now in our society, that seems to be flipped up on its end, doesn't it? The wicked, the evil, the violent, the disobedient, those who rebel against authority, those are the individuals who are being praised. And Christians, good people, are the ones who are being condemned. Totally upside down as far as the Word of God is concerned. Our leaders, our government officials, they ought to be praising us for the good works that we do. Folks, doing good works is an essential part of the Christian life. Jesus died to redeem us. He died to purify us. And He died so that you and I would be zealous of good works. As we close, I want to remind you about three things about good works. Number one, doing good is part of the production of fruit. Paul tells Titus that in Titus 3, verse 14. That they may learn to do good works, to maintain good works, for necessary purposes, that they be not unfruitful. Let me ask you something. Does God want us to live fruitful lives? Absolutely. You know, when I hear lessons about being fruitful, I hear lessons on soul winning, and I hear lessons about adding the fruit of the Spirit to your life. But there's a third component of fruitfulness, and folks, that's doing good works. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, John 15, verse 8. Folks, a part of that fruit bearing is good works, and you and I can do those totally, completely unhindered by any other human being. Did you know that? Notice secondly, doing good is a sacrifice with which God is well pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 16. The Bible says, to do good works and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Every time you and I do a good work, that is a sacrifice unto the Almighty God. It is as if you brought a lamb and laid him upon the altar for a sacrifice unto God. Every good work, God looks down, He sees it, it is a sweet-smelling savor, and it is acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. He sees every good work we do. And lastly, it is through good works that God is glorified. Folks, if there's anything that you and I should be wanting to do, that's to bring glory to God, isn't it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, my life is to be lived in such a way that brings glory and honor to the Almighty God. When I thought about those three points, and I thought about the fact that the Bible really looks at women doing good works, folks, aren't those some wonderful things for women to consider? It's the way I produce fruit. It's the way I make a sacrifice unto God. It's the way I bring glory unto God. Sometimes it's better just to be an individual involved in good works than any time to be up in a public ministry of some sort. We can have the same effect through our good works, even as a person does publicly from the pulpit. One last verse, it's Galatians 6, verse 9. Just keep this one in your thoughts. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You ever get tired of doing good? You ever get tired of doing things and it seems like it doesn't work? You ever get tired of putting money in this and money in that and money in this and money in that, and there seems like there's just no fruit in it whatsoever? Folks, this is what Paul's talking about. Don't you ever, ever, ever grow weary in doing good, because there's going to come a day when what? You'll reap if you faint not. Church, listen to me. 2021, we're seeking higher ground. Every one of us needs to develop a mindset that I'm going to do as many good things as I possibly can do to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. Let's seek higher ground in good works. It's hard to do good works when you're on the side of evil, isn't it? Oh, you can do some, but to whose glory? Folks, the only glory that it brings to anyone is yourself, isn't it? God wants you to do them on His behalf. Are you not a Christian today? We want you to be. The steps are simple. You hear the Word of God, that produces faith within your heart. That faith moves you to die to that old way of living. You confess the name of Jesus, and then you're buried in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that what Peter told those individuals who heard him preach on the day of Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Dear Christian, as you examine your life, can you honestly say it's full of good works? Maybe there's something in your life that's hindering that. Maybe it's sin in your life that you need to get rid of. Do you need to confess that and ask God to pray for you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing? Tender.